Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. Stay ahead of all the big games in the best league in the world, the Premier League. With the latest odds, form guides, expert opinions and more, the fans are the players at Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com, 18+, begambleaware.org, T's and C's apply.
This is a game day podcast from TalkSport, the record book.
Hi and welcome everybody to this week's edition of the Game Day podcast here with me, Danny Kelly. We won't go into the background once again of why it's such a great podcast and the promises we made at the start of the season. Those have all gone by the wayside to be replaced by top class analysis and entertainment. And bringing that today, because I certainly won't, are the two marks, possibly the most popular pair of marks ever on the radio. Mark Smith, I will stop to remember the Mark E. Smith. Broadcaster, comedian, anything else in your, any other strings to your bow since I last met you?
Just all round okay guy.
Okay, well, we'll be the judges of that. And alongside him is somebody who would definitely qualify as an okay guy, otherwise, he wouldn't have been a mainstay of British media for nearly half a century.
That's right, steady as I go.
I'm delighted to say that the familiar voice of Mark Webster is among us again.
And there it is. Yet full time at Old Trafford, as Old Trafford salutes the United players, the City players will walk off dejectedly.
When we win, we come. When we lose, we come. So prepare Arsenal in 2 days. In 3 days, prepare Burnley, and after the two finals that we have, Madrid and the other one, in Newcastle.
Now, other shows, of course, because we do the best and worst performances, the villain and hero of the week. Other shows would always start on the upbeat, on the front foot, with their best performance of the week. This one, of course, will start with the worst performance of the week. And Mark Webster, you're going to start by, well, very near the top of the tree in English football.
Funnily enough, yeah, and last time I was here, I was all about praising Man City because they went and did a job at Real Madrid, of course. But
that was terrific.
And there's an opportunity Madrid, to do that. And it was a wonderful thing to watch. It's a wonderful thing to watch how Pep Guardiola dealt with it. Okay, on Sunday, it was the Manchester derby. He's at Old Trafford. They've got a stinking record against the, you know, their neighbours of recent times, and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer keeps the upper hand, and they thrashed them 1-0, Manchester United, and by which I mean, apologies, they thrashed them 2-0.
Gonna get better and better, don't they?
Because of course there was a last minute little chip in from Scott McTominay, wasn't there? And 72% possession for Manchester City, 7 shots, 4 of only which were on target. And one of which might have been mildly considered to have been a shot. It was oh so underwhelming for Manchester City.
But 5 years ago, any team that achieved 75% possession, particularly away from home, would have been guaranteed the points. But the game changes all the time, doesn't it?
I mean, I get the whole point about United clearly set out to be the team that was going to counterattack, yeah. Exactly. But the lack of verve. And again, I also think it's irrelevant who he picked, because really with Man City, it should be. You look at the bench, of course he brought on slightly more attacking players, and of course in the last 20 minutes it looked like United were a bit more under siege. But quite frankly, if you looked at that game, they weren't really in any trouble.
This is worst performance of the week, but would I be causing a tear in the space-time continuum if I suggested, whatever about Laporte's injury... and maybe they'll be champions of Europe, but Mark Smith, City just not the team they were last year. They just aren't.
No, they're nowhere near. They don't have that consistency that really got them over the finish line last season. I mean, last season from Christmas onwards, they barely dropped a point. They were unbelievable. This time round, yes, Laporte's not there. Okay, understandable. And yes, they didn't really recruit properly in centre-back. But it just seems to me like the rest of the team isn't necessarily... clicking.
No.
It seems as simple as that. I mean, Mark's absolutely right. They dominated possession. They dominated the ball. But United really controlled the game without the ball. And I can't remember any chances that Man City made. Like, proper... I can't name a single gilt-edge opportunity the team made.
De Gea didn't have the opportunity to balls it up, which is unusual for him, isn't it?
You can tell they didn't have any shots at goal because they didn't score.
That's exactly because of the goalkeeper. And of course, the back four issue didn't really come into play because it was two mistakes from Ederson that actually contrived to give him the goal anyway.
It must be quite a bleak week when Ederson doesn't get any. I see the shortlist. He's not in the shortlist for our worst performance of the week. That was his worst performance ever for Manchester City.
He was poor.
And of course, I was broadcasting while the game was going on. Delighted. A Manchester City fan come on and say how terrible Ederson is. The person who actually transformed them from being a decent team into the best team. Under Guardiola, suddenly he has one bad game, and it was rubbish, wasn't it?
It wasn't good. Yeah. It just shows though, doesn't it? He's probably the best in the league, and if even he can have games like that, then it can happen. The goalkeeper is an absolutely punishing position.
That's the point. He's made a couple of rickets, but two goals against Man City should be an irrelevance. That's trivial by their own standards. But as I say, there was nothing about City. It was so underwhelming and lackluster. And of course, I'm saying to a great extent it's worse, but very much by their own standards.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Well, I thought with this game, I thought that Pep wouldn't sort of tinker too much. He tinkers for the big games, and I thought it'd be a damning indictment of where United are in comparison that he wouldn't bother tinkering and he'd play a team we all know and recognise. But actually, he goes and leaves out their most creative player. And I think after about 55 minutes, we all thought the one player in the world they could do with right now is sat on the other side of Manchester.
Well, it was a poor performance by Manchester City, even though they will point to that incredible amount of possession away from home. It does strike me that this year, City are not what they were, but below them, everybody between Leicester City and... who is second bottom, Mark? Is it West Ham currently? No.
No, West Ham are at the bottom three.
Right, of course.
How dare
it's Aston
you,
Villa.
Danny.
It's Aston Villa.
Villa will be in there.
I'm excluding Norwich. Between Villa and Leicester City, there's much of a muchness to teams in the Premier League. And you want to talk about a terrible performance by one of those teams who are really, a few weeks ago, we had out the bunting, beacons were being set alight in the high points of the land. The Everton revival is over, Mark.
Yeah, I mean, you say a few weeks ago, I think a few hours ago. It was
looking
so rosy.
Calvert-Lewin signed a new contract.
Yes. Well, this is
so
it.
So was Mason Holgate.
Absolutely fantastic. Holgate for England.
Yeah.
5 years for Calvert-Lewin, who's been fantastic this season. And then within about 20 minutes of Ancelotti's glorious return, Calvert-Lewin's Mr. Sitter. And we're thinking, can we maybe retract that 5 years? I don't know what this is. Everton were completely toothless against Chelsea. And it was a bit of a shock, I've got to say. So I thought before this game, yes, Chelsea had a good result midweek. And they've been playing a lot better.
Yeah.
But I thought they were there for the taking today. I thought that Gilmore in the middle of the park, he looked great in midweek, but he could be swamped by a vigorous... up for it, Everton midfield. It just didn't turn up.
Now,
it just didn't happen.
This Gilmore, I know two games, not to judge footballers on two games, otherwise Josh McEachran is Pele. I get that. But in those two games, he really did like... After you watch 1 million football matches, and I've got a special pass that says I've watched a million, you can see somebody who's just a natural footballer.
Yeah.
He's the right shape. When the ball arrives at him, he doesn't treat it like a hand grenade.
No.
He knows that he gets on the half turn. He already looks like a fully fledged footballer. Brilliant.
He's a Barcelona midfielder, isn't he? He's someone you could imagine slotting in there already.
And, of course, got his own chant looking through Billy Gilmore's eyes, which, of course, I'd like to think would arrive on the terraces at Chelsea all the way from 1977.
Yeah, 77, yeah.
It's a massive.
The adverts, ladies and gentlemen. From their album Crossing the Red Sea.
Yeah. Good detail.
What I would say about this, though, of course, in the fantastic world of football is all smoke and mirrors. Frank, he's playing the youth now. He's really got the young players going. And it's true, except Chelsea's three forwards yesterday were 31, 32 and 33 years of age, which I love. I'm sick of seeing people who are Friday night studying for their GCSEs and then Saturday trotting out to the Star Wars thing to play professional football.
Everton thing is bizarre, isn't it? Because it was... Ancelotti comes in and he is patently, a great manager. But then again, there may be an argument that may even pop up in the conversation here in which perhaps even great managers can peak one fight too
absolutely.
Many.
Yes.
You know, and especially ones with, of the silver-haired persuasion, arguably, Dan, later on. But Everton, regardless of who's in charge, have got this amazing record, which goes on for eons, is that they've simply never beaten anybody who dares to be in 1-5
yeah.
in the league.
Yeah.
They just can't get past them.
It's been the case for a long time, even when Moyes was at the dizzy heights of the top end of the league. But the Ancelotti thing, I mean, again, it's madness to write him off after one result.
He's gone. He's a goner.
Madness, but let's do that. But yeah. I think it's interesting. I think that the 4-0 might do them more good than if they, you know, lost 1-0 in the 93rd minute, because this is now a proper cattle prod in the back for them, isn't it?
Do you believe in his wake-up calls?
I do, yeah. I think they've had, Ancelotti, they've had a lovely time for a couple of months. And now this is actually, you know what, lads, let's press reset. Let's get back to what we were doing when Duncan Ferguson took over and got us into this new era of Ancelotti.
Oh, right,
and they go back to the drawing board.
It's never worked for me at all personally, these wake-up calls.
No.
So you see what happened there, Danny? You see the lesson?
How many of these are you getting?
Oh, 2 a week. I always go back to one of my heroes, Homer Simpson, when Marge pulls me at the end of a programme and says, "Now, Homer," that, and it's the most clear moral lesson ever at the end of one of the episodes. "You see what's happened there, Marge? I haven't learned a thing," he said with tremendous satisfaction.
Yes.
Listen, that's worst performance from Manchester City and indeed Everton, who Mark Smith believes will be the better for the experience. I'm not so sure.
But that's not the headline from what I said, though. You've taken that as my main headline.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, but what did you say?
No, it doesn't matter, does it? It doesn't matter. It's not going to beat Man City anyway.
No. Yeah. My worst performance of the week, and there's a reason for picking this, is the 3 o'clock kickoffs on Saturday. Now, of course, whenever there's a 12:30 kickoff, the game is always a dreary snoresville.
Oh, yes.
And people say, well, that's because the crowd haven't had a drink and the players are still blinking in the sunlight. And, of course, I imagine getting up at 11 o'clock is a real stress on a modern footballer. but this weekend, the 3 o'clock Premier League games were, the scorelines in the 8 games that were played were 0-0, 0-0, 0-1, 0-0, 0-0, 0-0 and 0-0. It was absolutely rotten.
I love binary results.
Robot's paradise.
Exactly right.
Somebody scored the first half.
Football should be broken down to that all the time.
Absolutely.
It's only noughts and ones.
But so I was struggling to think, how could it be so bad and all the rest of it? And then it struck me, we don't know, because we're recording this on the day before the government, the broadcasting authorities and the sports communications companies meet up to discuss what they're going to do about coronavirus. And one of the things that they're talking about is playing the games behind closed doors. And if that's the case, why would you want them televised at 7 o'clock in the evening, 8 o'clock in the evening? It strikes me a lot of them will go back to be 3 o'clock Saturday kickoffs, because that gives the players Sunday off. The clubs who are in cup competitions will say that's really good and all the rest of it. But if we see what happened this weekend with the traditional 3 o'clock kickoffs on a Saturday, and even though there's some talk that these games will be free to air to stop people going to pubs and passing the virus to each other.
Yeah, right.
If they're anything like the ones this weekend, people will be leaving pubs and self-isolating, not because of the virus, to keep away from the football.
Just in case they happen to
see any football,
the second half of the game.
Toxic
which,
football.
Which nobody needs, do they?
There's three pretty strong worst performances. Manchester City, we're not saying they're not going to be champions of Europe, but they certainly didn't play very well at the weekend. Everton, who were riding, you quite rightly say, a crest of a wave, new contracts, the lovely avuncular manager, bang, down they fall on their faces at Chelsea. And 3 o'clock kickoffs, which turned out to be no more exciting than their 12:30 counterparts, at least this weekend. Mark Smith, which way are you going to go?
I'm actually going to go for Man City. I think they were incredibly disappointing.
It was.
I thought that given all that possession, I mean, we know now that possession doesn't mean anything really, but just to create so few chances against their lesser City rivals, I thought was really bad.
They were so poor, they deserved to have been playing Saturday at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
That was how poor it was. But I'm going for Saturday 3 o'clock because, of course, the great football traditionalists cling on to that.
This idea.
It's the last bastion. It's you know, when it's gone, when that last raven leaves the football tower, it's all over.
But they put those at 3 o'clock because they're not exciting games.
That's why
it's happening.
Yeah, because, of course, the other games have been cherry-picked.
Absolutely, they haven't.
Oh, accompli.
Well, it's certainly a self-fulfilling prophecy, if you like to put it that way. In the interests of neutrality, I'll go with the 3 o'clock kickoffs as well.
Kelly.
Yeah,
well,
man.
Well, I don't keep score, Mark.
No, that makes you the classic 3 o'clock kickoff.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Yes. And you two have got 0-0 so far.
1-0-0.
Edison's quick to it. He's off his line quickly. And again, rolls the ball out to Mendy. That's an awful ball from Edison. And there's a chance. It's a goal! Well, McTominay has scored from the mistake. The ball was rolled out from Mendy.
Fantastic.
And McTominay has wrapped it up.
3 points closer to Chelsea and Leicester. We just got to try to catch them because it's vital for us. Game on Thursday in Europe, so we go into that one confident.
Chelsea 4, Everton 0. This is getting embarrassing now for Carlo Ancelotti on his return.
We have to worry about ourselves, Trump, and like that. For most or every game to the end of the season, and we'll have a great chance, but it's still a long way to go.
Let's move on to the more happy climb of best performances of the weekend. And oddly enough, in both of your cases, they happen to be the mirror image of the worst performances. And I think that's good to talk about that because we are too inclined to say, oh, the reason Team X were wise because Team W were so good. No, it's because often one team is really good and the other team is really bad at the same time. You can go first this time because I think you were really impressed with... it's a bit like saying I like Queen, but you think Manchester United are a good football team, yes?
I do, yeah. I think they... Well,
I think it's like damned by faint praise there.
I can't stand Queen.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Can't stand Queen.
I think
at least we're on the same page on that one as well.
I own tens of thousands of records, not one by Queen.
Well played.
I have a copy of Under Pressure because David Bowie's on it, but that's separate.
What's your beef with Queen? What's your beef with Queen?
They're terrible.
They are Van Ordinaire. They are vanilla.
Horrible.
They are the rock band that everyone who doesn't really like rock music loves.
Yeah.
Any band where people will turn up in coaches and charabancs to see a musical about them. It's not for me. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. Where's the edge in all this?
They were the West End musical before they were a band.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what it was. Anyway, that's probably not... Yeah,
but, Mark knows as much about music as I do and has better taste than me. You don't like them either, do you?
Oh, they're beyond my ken.
Yeah.
Can they be in Villain of the Week? Is it too late
Queen,
for that?
let me put them down as a question mark for Villain of the Week. Although, I must admit, when the film came out, I had plenty of time to vent this opinion. I have to say... Among the things you can say on Twitter that are going to get you in trouble, I don't like Queen is right up there. and of course, the great opposite, you're a snob, a musical snob. Yeah, of course. I think my taste is good.
You've earned your right to be a
no,
snob.
No, no. I assumed it from the very start, Mark. Who's going first here? Mark Smith's going to win Manchester United. Best performance.
I do think they are... I don't know if they're a good team yet, but I think they have certainly shown some green shoots of recovery over the last few games. They're currently on a 10-match unbeaten streak. They've conceded 2 goals in that entire time, 8 clean sheets out of 10 across all competitions. They've seemed like, since Bruno Fernandes has come in, he's a player that can break down a deeper defence, which they struggle with
for a
long time.
For a Derby County supporter, you seem remarkably well informed about Manchester United being new to you.
Yeah, no, I'm...
Are you a secret red?
No, I did quite a lot of work for the club.
Oh,
so, plus also they remain probably the best soap opera in football, don't they? Regardless,
absolutely,
of the fact that Liverpool and Man City should be able to claim that.
Are you saying
ground.
The Spurs are Brookside to their Coronation Street?
No, you're El Dorado.
Oh, I missed El Dorado. I missed it at the time as well. As it goes, go on. I mean, the trouble with Manchester United and with every team, as I say, in the Premier League at the moment, is that they're like tides. They're suddenly lapping around your feet. And you think, whoa, this is dangerous. They're good. The next thing, they're a mile away again.
Well, this is it. I think today doesn't actually teach you that much about this side because they've been getting good results against good teams for the last year. I think it's more so the game sort of last week against Watford, where they beat Watford at home comfortably. That's the game where recently I've been thinking, this is a banana skin. Today, though, against Man City, they outfought them. They look like a team who are very much together, and you can see that when they celebrated their goals.
Yeah.
The scenes at Old Trafford when they won the game, I've not seen that for a long time there. So it feels like people have finally bought in and are now on side in the same boat.
I mean, obviously, it's a local derby, and it finished in a proper Manchester deluge. I mean, it was torrential. Do you think the rain helps the mood of Manchester? I think it does.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you win, it does, yeah.
Yeah,
I think if you lose and you're in the rain, it's not so nice.
Felt like Manchester, and you're right. I mean, you say they've only got to not lose against Lask, you know, in the week, and that's the same record that Solskjaer got the job based on.
Yeah.
11 games unbeaten, isn't
it? Is that right? Is that the same amount? Yeah, right.
Incidentally,
yeah.
I mean, I like new things to happen in my life. It's a good thing. But I thought I'd seen or heard every single European football club ever, ever, ever. Lask anybody?
Yeah, no idea.
Are the only reason you might not know, are they Austrian by any chance?
Yes. No. You misheard me. By any chance, they might be, yes. I'm not confirming they are.
No,
because
Austrian teams change their name every 20 minutes, don't they? And they do.
I've never heard of them.
Austrian teams change their names a lot. They also change their sponsors all the time, and they were the only league that allowed, back in the day, the old Formula One thing of having 20 sponsors with little tiny stickers all over themselves. Try and look at Austrian football in the late 80s. They look like advertising hoardings, proper hoardings, very, very good indeed.
I was praying that in the draw, that there was an opportunity for the man, the fella who's ever doing, saying, now to the final club, Lask, but not least.
He's here all week.
He couldn't manipulate it, though. Mm. It would have been too good, wouldn't it?
Let me ask you a question, because I think on this podcast, we are beholden to try and pop the bubble of received opinion. The Premier League doesn't need a strong Manchester United, does it? It's got all good teams.
It's neither here nor there whether they are. I mean, that's unfortunately the narrative by which they are continually judged, though, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's like it's wrong that they're not the best.
No one has a divine right to it. We see
Sunderland
from Americans
used to be the best team in England. Preston North End used to be the best team in England.
Derby County did.
Used to be the best.
Absolutely.
I'm glad you got there ahead of me.
Yeah. it doesn't mean that we have some right to be there at all times.
Man United coming back soon, though.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I mean, see us against Blackburn, unbelievable.
No, but I saw you against Manchester United, unbelievable.
Let's not talk about that. This is a Premier League show, I was led to believe.
Why were all the Derby players virtually kissing... Sorry, the Manchester United players kissing Wayne Rooney? That's not proper, is it?
I'm not here to judge about that sort of thing, Danny.
No, I don't mean in a conviviality or romantic way. Just that the atmosphere of that game wasn't right, was it?
No, it seemed like a testimonial to me.
Yeah,
it seemed very odd, and it actually didn't sit well with me. I'm a huge Rooney fan. I'm a Derby County supporter. Yeah. But I still didn't like the fact that it was all about Wayne. It should have been about
those farewell tour seasons. That's not good, are they? No, I don't know. I'm not a big fan.
My performance of the week, I'll get it over very quickly, but it's a change from blaming footballers. We're into the people who I don't know what even the ticketing department at Blackburn. Best performance, really. Whether it's Blackburn taking revenge on Leeds. Leeds, of course, with all their pretensions of being a big club. I'm looking at our producer now. They charged the Blackburn Rovers fans for a recent game at Elland Road £40.
£40.
Way above what you would normally pay in the championship.
It's a disgrace.
I half get it. Leeds could probably sell Elland Road out to their own supporters at any given time.
Right. And supply and demand and whatnot.
Right. Now, the same is not true at Ewood Park, but Blackburn don't care and have still charged Leeds United £40 a pop for the return fixture. I don't know which of these is the best performance, Blackburn for doing it, or Leeds United have taken it on the chin and kind of said, well, you know, some Leeds fans on Twitter are going, great, I'll pay the £40 and I'll leave £40 on the terrace as well, just as if to say, I'll watch Leeds, whatever. And others just saying, well done to them. They've got a lot of fans, Leeds United, and Blackburn. Is it still the Venkies? Do the Chicken Men still open?
Yes.
Well, if you multiply, I think there's nearly 8,000, because the rules are different in the Premier League to the Champions. Nearly 8,000 Leeds fans will be going to that game. They'll be rubbing their hands together saying, £40, that's a lot of money. Is that £320,000? A lot of money.
Yeah.
So that's my best performance.
No, it's so petty. I love the pettiness.
Yeah, of course.
I'm a huge fan of that.
Yeah. And for it to be Blackburn, who I haven't really heard any news from since the Chicken Men got them put into the third level of English football. I know they're back in the Championship now. But the first news story I hear about Blackburn since Alan Shearer moved on is the fact that they've done up the Leeds United fans. I love that about football. You want to return to actual football teams, Mark?
I do, and I want to return to Stamford Bridge. I want to deal with the result, my favourite result of the week, Kings Road 2, Cavern Club 0. Because, of course, this is the thing about what Chelsea have done in the last few days, is they've taken on the mighty, mighty teams and won. And if you look at the you know, obviously beating Liverpool in midweek, which they did in the Cup, And there would be much talk about Liverpool being sort of under, you know, sort of undercooked at the moment, and perhaps even a changed side because there's bigger fish to fry. Well, it was a changed Chelsea side as well. And this is what's impressed me with them during the course of this week. We mentioned earlier on there, young Billy Gilmore, the 18-year-old boy who's come in, drafted in for two games, done really well. Mason Mount's done a similar job. Ross Barkley, the
even Ross Barkley,
man,
he unbelievable.
Yeah, he was really good, wasn't he?
In the game at the weekend, he's got not only two assists, but one step over, which needed to be finished and was ruined on him. But possibly the best achievement, and Dan, you mentioned him earlier on there, the veteran front line, Olivier Giroud has been persuaded in a few days flat that all of a sudden, not only his attempt to get out of Chelsea during the transfer window failed, but he was still looking to do so. He's looked at what he's working with now and saying, thank you very much, I'll take that contract extension.
And he's a classic example, though, of when people say to you, international football is finished, nobody cares about it, and you get the people from Liverpool saying, we don't give a monkeys about international football. Olivier Giroud was told point blank that if he wasn't getting minutes at Chelsea and playing well, he would not be playing in the Euros. He cares enough about playing for France, he's a World Cup winner, of course, that he's got this chance. And in a year when Tammy Abraham has left him sitting on his backside a lot, he's taken it absolutely brilliantly. But of course, he is a really good footballer.
He's brilliant. Yeah. And he makes a mockery of this new obsession with stats of how many goals, how many assists, because he's someone who in the World Cup was a key player, didn't score, didn't get close to scoring, but it was completely integral to
that side. I'm going
to
spare you this test because you might be too young.
Okay.
The World Cup has been won by a player who doesn't get a lot of goals and a lot of assists this time round. 1990, when did France first win the World Cup? 98.
Yeah.
Deschamps Keaters.
Who was the centre forward?
Oh, Stefan Givash.
I wanted to test him.
Oh, sorry.
Very good, though.
The young one got it.
Yeah. Must be about four when that happened.
I would have been a million, but I don't remember footballers' names. It's against my rules.
Stefan Givash. Never heard before of, never heard since
didn't
of.
He came to Newcastle, didn't he? And he was he had a nightmare.
That graveyard of Joe Linton, shall we say.
Joe
Linton, etc. To be fair, since Malcolm McDonald and... obviously, Alan Shearer. Newcastle know how to buy wide players, and we'll get onto one of those pretty soon. I suspect, in the form of St. Maximin. Centre forwards, not so much, but they are harder to find. So those are our best performances of the week. Mark Smith went for Manchester United. Mark Webster for Chelsea, excellent week for them all round. Me, the people at Blackburn are taking some of the air out of the pompous tyres of Leeds United. I wanted to do that story. I don't think it can be the performance of the week, surely. So you two fight out among the Manchester United and Chelsea.
Well, I'm going to stick with my corner. And the reason being is that Chelsea fans, as far as I can tell, judging the temperature and the distance, still can't quite come to terms with the fact that even though he's having to do this and his first season in the Premier League and with a young squad, is if they dare to have a dip, then there's still a lot of gnashing of teeth going on. And he just keeps answering it, and there will be dips. And how could they not have dips? But he hasn't had it in the last 5 days. Everything has gone swimmingly.
Ditto that for everything Mark said, but for Solskjaer.
Same point, isn't it, really? Yeah,
it's exactly the same.
Okay, well, in that case...
pick a side, Danny. Come on.
I will. Dan,
the power invested in me by... what borough are we in? Southwark Council and the Department of Sport, Agriculture and whatever else it is. I'm going to leave... That's a draw, because the arguments are absolutely identical. And so have been their performances this week. So we'll leave
I'll
that...
I'll take a point.
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
Yeah, but very good indeed.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. There's a lot more to those 90 minutes than what goes down on the pitch. With the latest odds, form guides and expert opinions, you'll know the score with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org. T's and C's apply.
And that is that. Honours even in the end. Burnley dominating the first half.
I think the Tottenham supporters in that first half, Laura, would have been annoyed with the system that Jose Mourinho picked. The five at the back, it clearly didn't work.
In periods where he's not injured, he's taking time. He's taking time. He's a player with that the club put great expectations on him. He's a player with amazing quality, amazing skill. But he's taking time.
Now, the next thing we're doing here on the Game Day podcast with me, Danny Kelly, Mark Smith and Mark Webster is our villain of the week. Indulge me, gentlemen. I'll go first this time. He is a villain whose power to be a villain should be diminished by the predictability of his villainy, but it is not. When Jose Mourinho got the job at Spurs...
It's him, is it?
I tried for about a month to bite my lip and say, all right, let him do his new thing in his weird violet pyjamas, saying, oh, this squad is the greatest Christmas present I've ever had. And I looked at him and thought, you don't mean that. You don't mean that. You may have convinced Daniel Levy, but you won't convince me. They won a few games 3-2, and already you knew the rot was setting in because he couldn't be happy with those, could he?
High-fived a ball boy.
He high-fived a ball boy. He gave the football to, Parrott after he came on for a few minutes, and we'll get on to that in a second. But now I'm afraid we have returned to peak Jose Mourinho. Four defeats on the spin, followed by a draw at Burnley, which was celebrated, like the 1961 double, by the way, because they got away with it. Obviously, Troy Parrott is thrown under whatever train he can find to make his point about not having a backup to Harry Kane. I tell you what, Jose, pick the boy, let him fail. He's pretending he's not picking him so that he won't fail. Let him fail, because I don't think he will fail. I think he looks like a decent footballer. Give him a go.
It's a few young kids doing okay around the league, isn't there? Why not this one?
It's horrible. Tanguy Ndombele has to take some of the responsibility himself. He's turned up in the Premier League thinking he could just waltz from being the dominant player in last season's French League to being a good player in the Premier League. Well, it ain't like that. And one thing you have to do is make sure that you are fit enough to play the games. He has not done that, so he must take some of the blame. But Mourinho, after the game where he subbed him off at half-time at Burnley, coming out and saying all that stuff about his fitness and all the rest of it, he virtually called him a fat pig, didn't he?
Yeah.
He didn't say fat pig, but I'm saying, because I like saying it. he called Ndombele a fat pig. And I think, well, why did you pick him then? If he's literally waddling out of his sty at 10-3 of a Saturday afternoon, why are you picking him? And he doesn't explain that. But worst of all, I think, is his response to what would be for any club a difficulty of losing two-thirds of the goals in the team. Harry Kane, Heung-min Son probably get to most teams in world football, and Spurs don't have them. So you're struggling to score goals. I myself would double down on that and say we're going to play attacking and try and win these games 3-2. At Burnley, this weekend, the club that, by the most recent accounting, post the Deloitte, is now the fourth richest football club in the world. The fourth richest football club in the world.
It's by which success is judged in football.
Played five centre-backs at Burnley.
Mm-hmm.
Count them. Five centre-backs.
Preach.
You idiot. You worm. You excuse monger.
You're talking to me now.
No, I'm not, sir. I'm addressing directly. And as I always say at the start of these things about Mourinho, you can sue me if you want. Don't sue me. What on earth was that about? Lumbering the team with a fat pig and five centre-halves. And then at half-time, you make yourself look good by reverting to an 11 that a normal person would have picked if they weren't making a point rather than managing the team. I'm not having this anymore. Now, Levy, of course, has hitched his wagon to this fella.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to use a graphic image now because I know that they won't split with him. He costs too much money. There's too much of Levy's prestige involved in having got him in just 4 hours after they got rid of the previous manager. They managed to persuade former Champions League winner Jose Mourinho to come along, and Spurs are now handcuffed to a corpse. That's the end of that. Who's your villain of the week, Mark?
Paling by insignificance, I would, I would beg to suggest.
What is the point?
But let's give it a go. Give this fellow a bit of context. A few years back, me and Mrs. W, Marrakesh for a holiday, I had this brilliant idea. I said, they've got this olive farm. Let's go and visit it. She said, it's 200 degrees, you idiot. No.
So I like her already. I like her a lot.
She's
most patient woman, I imagine.
I said, it's around the corner. And so we go there, and what it is basically it looked like a haunted wood. There wasn't an olive to be seen. Wrong time of year. It's dry twigs. The only thing to be seen...
It's another feather in the Webster cap, isn't it?
And I could... apart from the burning sun, her eyes were burning the back of my head a lot worse than the beating down sun. Go for get some water from a little stand, and there's like a little gaggle of camel drivers and their steeds. And one looks over to me.
Dromedaries? I can bet you.
Exactly, that's right. Just and like them, they're the ump, like Mrs. W. And one of the fellas looked at me, and they're laughing. They're laughing at us. They say, look at the ridiculous English people out in the sun. We're under a tree.
Yeah.
And the fella with no teeth in his head looked up and smiled at two-fifths grin at me and shouted out, Stevie Gerrard! Because he felt that there was a name that would bond us all.
Yeah, he used to be Bobby Charlton.
And it was Stephen Gerrard. And I shouted back, Allez Le Rouge. I thought I'll give it half a chance to make. Anyway, Stephen Gerrard is my man this week because Gerrard's new world.
I thought it was camels.
Up at Rangers. That's right, yeah. Why don't we
camel drivers. How do we all know? Where do we get that knowledge that they are not camel riders, they're not camel jockeys, they're
never
camel drivers?
Not say camel drivers.
I know,
it?
But where did you pick that up from? You didn't know that at school.
No, it's just that.
But everyone just nodded. We're all very happy. Yeah. Camel drivers, yeah.
It's innate.
Oh, yeah.
It's just innate.
What do you do for a living, Mustafa? Oh, I'm a camel driver. Good, yeah, very good, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't run a tea plantation in the Raj for nothing down to 30 years. Stephen Gerrard, who people are suggesting he's had a bit of a sort of free ride at Rangers.
When did he become Gerrard? Is he not Stephen Gerrard?
Oh, I love the rhythm of Stevie Gerrard.
Steve Gerrard, I'd say.
Stevie Gerrard.
Okay.
And it was post the winter break, and fundamentally, it's all gone, kind of the wheels have come off, and that's allowed, and, you know, things will go wrong, and he's lost a couple of big games, and he's fallen out with his manager, and he ends up calling his... He bothers to point out that the team isn't kind of all based around one player, Morelos, and he did get him back in the side. James Taverner gets in a load of trouble, gets dropped at the weekend because he put in the programme notes, we're no good against teams that stand up to us. In the programme notes.
This bit of overseas language that you tried in Morocco, now Tavernier is now Taverner. And Gerrard has become Gerrard.
I suppose we can slow things down by worrying about pronunciation if you like,
Daniel. No, I'm enjoying the fact that you've become francophone on the show.
I'm taking them all on.
Toulemans, sir.
But the biggest problem is that he decides at one point during the course of the week that he's got to question his own future.
This is bizarre.
And this is where everything I've just described all for me unravels around the fact that Stevie Gerrard has suddenly decided, and whether he meant it or not, the subtext is, I'm too good for this.
Yep.
They're not good enough for me. And regardless of whether that's what he meant, and then 2 days later he said, I've had a good think about it, I'm fine. By which time I think the damage was done. And I think he was an absolute fool to play on his own ego and reputation.
It's like a moody teenager.
No,
you're absolutely right. It was one of those comedy shows where perhaps the one Ronnie would have done, where you ask yourself a question and run round the other side of the table. Nobody was questioning his future. Yeah, he can stay there as long as he wants. He's Stephen Gerrard.
That's right. He was Tommy Cooper used to do that gag with half of him was the press man and half of him was him, and he could kept flipping round at 180
degrees. It was a really one-sided conversation that, because nobody is saying, Stephen Gerrard, you've got to go now.
But of course, all he's done in saying that is he's made it not about how good he is at doing his job. He's made it all about how bad they are at doing theirs. And whether he, as I say, whether he meant it that way or not, I think it's a ridiculous thing for him to say. But well, he's early in his
similar
tenure.
To Jose then, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
In that respect,
he should defer to the expert in these matters. Yeah.
I suppose the big difference is that Jose can, if he wanted to shut me up, just lower all his medals very slowly into my mouth.
Stephen
Gerrard is not yet in that happy position. Who's your villain of the week, Mark?
My villain is the
Queen. Say Queen.
It's Queen. My villain this week is it's not an individual. It's actually the collective finishing of West Ham United this weekend.
Oh, Mark. The other Mark.
Oh, a dagger to me arse.
I'm sorry, Mark Webster. But, I mean, I know you feel the same way.
One time I want West Ham to do proper finishing, and this is what I get.
We really could have just got that right for football.
Yeah.
Really, couldn't we?
Because you know what? I was at West Ham Southampton last weekend. And they seemed like something had happened. You know, Bowen had started his first game for the club, and they looked much more exciting to watch, much more dynamic. Bowen seems to have added something to that side, at least. Antonio was fantastic. And I thought, going into the Arsenal game, similar thing could happen. And for the first half an hour, 45 minutes even, West Ham were carving out chance after chance. Good quality chances as well, by the way. Not just half chances. Bowen hits the post in 25 yards. I'm not even counting that as one of the chances. What I'm counting is Antonio and Haller completely being on the wrong wavelength for one of the opportunities. Antonio misses another gilt-edged one moments later. The Premier League, as we've said a few moments ago, there is a whole bunch of teams in that division from probably third right the way down to 12th, 13th, 14th, where they're very similarly matched. And
appear to be in transition, don't they?
They all seem just non-stop transition.
Permanent state of flux.
And the difference is, and the difference can be, have you got players in your team that can just finish these not half chances? These are proper easy chances.
Now, West Ham really were, to use a cliche, profligate. My God. Yeah,
they really were.
I mean, Jay Leno's son made a couple of decent saves, but the rest of them were just their players falling over themselves.
Yeah.
But this is kind of endemic of what you're talking about in terms of the indifference of the league. I mean, I know it's the indifference of what West Ham are, is that they're only ever capable of buying. West Ham would say, well, they buy a talented player. So how did they get him? Look at him. Well, the reason is because he's only good 60 or 70% of the time.
Yeah.
The great teams have got 90 to 95% men. So against Southampton, Haller and Antonio, two impeccable finishes.
Yeah.
Which almost inevitably means that the next game, they're going to sky it.
Okay, this is good. You've got your own version of expected goals here, haven't you? Yeah. If he was that good, he'd be playing for Barcelona.
Always been my feelings.
But then you saw with the Arsenal goal, I mean, Lacazette isn't playing every game for Arsenal, but he is a cut above anything West Ham have got. And that's the difference. That is the difference. A player there who cost them X amount of million.
And all you have to bring someone through from the academy, like Spurs have done with Troy. Oh, no.
No, not at all.
Villains. West Ham's finishing was really terrible. Absolutely. Stephen Gerrard. I'm not going to count Mourinho because I did that whole Shakespearean thing for the benefit of the listeners.
Well, I'm picking Jose. I don't know.
Great. I'm not allowing him in, but you can pick him and then he'll win.
Okay, fine, yeah.
Yeah, it's Mourinho, isn't it?
He had a stinker of a week.
Five centre-halves.
Yeah.
Five of them.
But for me, this is the thing with Jose where you think, oh, it's fun, Jose, for the first month. And then over the next two or three years, it goes to pieces. But actually, this time, he's just fast-tracked it.
He's accelerated it.
It's like his career in microwave fashion this time, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like when they go to warp speed in those space films, and all the stars, including Son Heung-min, etc., go flying past you. All right, Jose Mourinho is the villain of the week. And well done, Queen, for not quite in getting that award.
McNeil again, the cross into the near post, a stooping header away from Dyer, and the shot is saved by Lloris, and then it's fired in by Chris Wood, and Burnley take the lead.
Just once and more, he stretches his leg out, his right foot finds the back of the net, perfect start for Burnley.
I've just seen a video here as well, there's pictures going around on the internet of...
I should say we don't know what the reason is behind it, but the picture you're going to paint is what?
Eric Dyer going into the crowd.
Our heroes. Let's end on a more positive note, if we can. And I'll start with you, Mark Smith.
Yeah, I've gone for Chris Wood, who played against your Tottenham Hotspur this weekend. Now, Chris Wood is someone we raved about on the show before, because I remember talking
more
about
specifically you, right?
Absolutely. I remember talking about him and Ashley Barnes in a proper old school 4-4-2, two strikers really going for you, aggressive.
One big one and one big one.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I do like him a lot, Chris Wood, and I like Barnes, but at the minute. Barnes is out injured, and Chris Wood has shown that he can play with all sorts of different strike partners. He can lead the line on his own, and against Spurs, he completely bullied your five centre-backs.
Yeah.
And he was exactly the sort of player that I think would prove to be a perfect foil for Harry Kane.
No wonder McNeil and the rest of them look so good, because Chris Ball has been marked by five centre-backs.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, but by the way, McNeil, I'm saying this now, I'm going to just put him a flag in the ground, and you can salute it if you wish. McNeil has got the best delivery of any winger in the Premier League. I think he's got an unbelievable final
ball. He's having
ball
a brilliant season.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And when I get crucified on Twitter when I say that Burnley don't encourage Flair, of course, he is their get-out card. He is their joker, isn't he?
I mean, I remember a time when England had no left-wingers, and now we've got three or four really top-class ones. When, and McNeil would have been starting for England back
then. What Southgate's job now is to work out a system of football which wins football matches with only right-backs and left-wingers, and then England are world champions, aren't they? England will be world champions overnight. Yeah. I mean, obviously, there's still the Pickford problem, but other than that, the right-backs and left-wingers, they're there, dude. No, it was a very good performance, and
should have had a penalty as well. As well as his goal that he got in the first half.
And, of course, it's not lost on me that he's exactly the sort of player that Kane... He would be great backup to Harry Kane.
You could start him 15 games a season, spare Harry Kane the injuries that he gets every year.
But actually, he's so good, I don't want to see him sitting on a bench somewhere. He's perfectly good
true.
At Burnley.
That's true.
I love your hero of the week, Mark, because depending on what the government decides to do about coronavirus in the next 24 or 48 hours, he may or may not be allowed to watch his own football team.
Mystery man, yeah, exactly. But I was more excited about the fact that in the week there was a story that broke in the local press about, and they've been there since 1850, the dinosaurs in Crystal Palace are under threat.
You'll have to explain to non-Londoners that these are concrete model dinosaurs.
As opposed to real ones, Dan, yeah?
No, I was talking about their midfield.
Well, because, of course, my point was going to be that they're not all at risk, because one of them just signed a one-year extension on his contract.
See, we won't rehearse. This is what happens, eh?
Thanks very much.
Roy Hodgson, 71 years of age. Bless him. What a man.
The 3-1-0s in a row. They've just unbelievable results that they're getting.
Yep.
I don't necessarily think that Crystal Palace fans can't quite bring themselves to commit wholeheartedly, because what you don't get really is the kind of football that you would hope to go with it. But by God, they're going to get this football in the Premier League easy again, which is incredible.
And by the way, this is with Milivojevic, their captain, not being able to get back into the side. That's how well that midfield's playing at the minute. I think it might not be glamorous, it might not be glitzy, but it's very effective.
Ayu has now officially, a wonderful stat for him. From their point of view, a fella who would struggle, you'd have thought, to get into halfway up the Championship kind of side in normal circumstances, is the player in the Palace team that has earned them the most points with the goals that he's got.
£2.5 million.
Incredible.
Says the £2.5 million brothers.
Exactly. But you're absolutely right. The big deal is with him is that he's too old to actually manage his football team potentially if they decide to go behind closed doors.
I'm not sure. I understand they must do what they have to do to manage the virus. And I know how, much more than I did 2 weeks ago, how epidemics work.
Yeah.
But just as a citizen of the country, to be told because you're over 70 that you can't go to a football match or a race meeting or a gig, it means that both West Ham's owners will be banned from their own club.
Yeah.
Adelia Smith. I mean, and if it really is about keeping, 70-year-olds who are in ill health out of the general population, just close Wetherspoons for a month.
Or just lock the doors.
Oh, then
every really pretty much everybody's happy.
Yeah, but that's
lock them in.
Pure Hammer House of Horror. That
that would be. I could go 2 to 3 weeks. I'll give it a go, but of course this is the fair play to Roy. Is to this day he's a slick fellow, and as he says to himself, he's never felt healthier. So you're absolutely right. It's ridiculous that there'd be an arbitrary age thing. Because this old boy is defying
totally
his age
totally
and the odds.
Totally.
Well done to him.
Yeah, he's never. I had a conversation with the former owner this very day, Simon Jordan. Simon doesn't see that Palace can ever break the top six. They just don't have that kind of finances. So the job is to keep them in the Premier League. And frankly, he and Ray Lewington are doing that. They could probably do that from the beach, couldn't they? They could probably sit there with a pina colada and go, doing it on the phone, keeping them in the Premier League. They've been doing it for so long. My hero of the week is, I hope, not too controversial. I know he's done wrong and he has to be punished, but Eric Dyer, I've met Eric Dyer a couple of times.
What, the Pat Cash of Tottenham?
well, at least you're mentioning something peaceful and celebratory.
That's
compared
okay,
to people,
Eric Cantona, then.
People
Eric
comparing
Cantona.
It to Eric Cantona, and all do they always be called Eric the ones who want to go in the crowd, do they? Cantona jumped at the fella and assaulted him. Now, I know that the look on Eric's face told me he wanted to do murder, but he didn't do murder. I just think that he's one of the few players you meet who's prepared. I'm not saying they're all stupid, but he's prepared to give you his opinions about politics, society, art even. You know, he doesn't look like that with his shaven head. And I know that Sergio Ramos probably thinks he doesn't behave like that. the last time Eric was involved in someone going into the crowd, it was actually Sergio Ramos's body, wasn't it? I don't know what went on with his brother, and we'll hear more, no doubt, when my learned friends get involved. And I'm sure the FA are going to have to make some kind of example out of him. Although they then have to tell football crowds, because the message there is then you can say what you like and we'll punish the players. Yeah. That's a dangerous one to go down. But the reason why I'm going to make my hero, Barry, because I want to, time is pressing, is succinct. When you've been to as many football matches as I have, when you've watched as many football matches as I have, when you rinsed YouTube and finished the internet of football, you think, right, I've seen it all now. Absolutely everything. Nothing. And then you see a fit, rather muscular man in football boots attempting some sort of hurdling event, like a Jeux en Frontière, to get over. I think I counted 14 rows of seats he had to clear, by which time, of course...
Never clipped one, did he, Dan?
No.
Never clipped one.
By which time, the geezer who was causing the trouble in the first place had plenty of time to make his escape, and good luck to him for making his escape, incidentally. I wouldn't fight Eric Dyer, I've got to be honest with you. Just the opportunity to see something absolutely brilliant. And if I started being miserable about Tottenham and the villain of the week, and of course missing Sissoko and Son and Kane, don't forget they've still got Dele Alli's band coming for his joke about coronavirus, and presumably Eric Dyer taking most of the rest of the season off for his detour, shall we say, from the traditional egress from the pitch. Spurs will soon, once again, I dust down my pair of Puma Kings and I just put them on the internet in case Jose sees them.
Yeah.
But he would say, like in Dublin, I'm a fat pig, won't he?
He wouldn't say that to you, Danny.
I'll tell you what, regardless of all of that, Troy Parrott's still not getting the game, though.
No,
That's not happening.
Unless his agent turns up and says, you know, Troy fancies himself a centre half, and then he may get.
I think I might be able to squeeze another one in.
He needs to play centre half for the Republic of Ireland for a couple of times, and then he'd be straight into the team, wouldn't he? Meanwhile, Cameron Carter-Vickers, unrated at Stoke, out on loan from Spurs, comes back in January. Mourinho takes one look at him, the American international centre half, and sends him out to Luton. Cameron, if he doesn't fancy you as a centre half, when the whole team is full of them, probably time to move on, I suspect. Who's our hero of the week? Lovely Roy Hodgson with his new contract. Eric Dyer for doing something new. Chris Wood for doing the same thing that he always does, but it's so impressive.
I'm with you on Eric Dyer. I get there's a certain rebellious nature. It's a bit Dick Turpin, isn't it? You know. But, you know.
Also, if there's family involved, all of us get a bit irrational, let's be honest.
I can see that, but he's he may be a dandy highwayman, but he's still a highwayman, so I can't quite lean on him. I am inclined, as I tend to be in this situation, because it seems to happen quite a lot. I just like the fact that Roy Hodgson is just ploughing his merry furrow still.
I'm happy with that. I'm happy with Roy to win this one. Huge fan of Roy. Huh? And you know what? We've had a week of Democratic primaries and in America, where they're all 77, 78.
Oh, that's incredible.
Roy is a young whippersnapper. And he's
a mere boy.
His immaturity would keep him out of the White House.
He'd have to run next time, wouldn't he, Roy?
Well, I think it's reasonably well known that Roy is perhaps the best read of all our managers.
Yes.
He reads difficult novs and 600 pages of them. So given the lady wife's job as bigging up posh writing, I think I would probably be ill-regarded at home if I didn't also go with our hero of the week, who is Roy Hodgson. And I didn't think I'd be saying that at all this season, but that's what this podcast is all about. And thank you for listening to our various meanderings and tributaries to what otherwise gets presented by the media. We'll do it again next week. Don't forget, of course, in a couple of days' time, you can download the appendix, where even the nonsense that wasn't good enough to get on this show gets an airing. It's actually very good indeed. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Mark Smith, Mark Webster.
Cheers, Dan.
And you've got something to advertise, Mark.
I have, yeah. If you get a chance, you should check out the Football 365 show.
I no longer have any shares. But,
no, but you can still support it. Oh, yeah. Morally, Danny.
I support you. Thanks, as a man. Person.
Football 365 show, you can get it on football365.com or across any of their social media.
And this is visuals, and we get to see your new quiffy haircut and everything.
Is it a new quiffy haircut?
Oh, yes, quiffier than usual. Since you started doing telly, your hair's got much quiffier.
And I've got orange, and my teeth
have got
whiter.
No. Just your hair's got slightly higher.
High hair. Okay. High hair.
Yeah,
I approve
yours
high
is
hair.
Ridiculously good as well.
I love
thank
high
you
hair.
Very much indeed.
Big high hair fan.
Most of all, though, thanks to all of you for putting up with us, or as it's known in the trade, listening.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. The latest odds? We set them. Form guides? We've got them. Expert opinions? We share them. The best fans in the world deserve the best. Be match day ready before the whistle blows with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at Ladbrokes.com, 18 plus, begambleaware.org, T's and C's apply.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news, ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.